reminder to media members on the call, just hit star one on your keypad if you have questions for the coaches this morning. We'll work those questions in as soon as we can. But now, welcome to the call, the head coach of the William & Mary Tribe, Tony Shaver. Good morning, Coach Shaver.
Good morning, Rob. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Before we talk about your week and your two road games, I want to give you the opportunity, as we're doing with all the coaches, to speak on behalf of some of your players that you feel are worthy of some all-conference consideration this week.
Yeah, sure. Two guys certainly jumped to mind. You know, Daniel Dixon and Omar Pruitt have had really fine years for us, and especially the conference play, Daniel has been really special. I don't know all the stats. People will look those up, but I think he's maybe second in the league in scoring, doing a good job rebounding and defending for us. Omar's really come along here lately. He's gotten healthy and playing at a really high level for us right now. Which, you know, he struggled a little bit early with some injury things, but he's playing really, really well for us. I think those two guys deserve, you know, heavy recognition. I'm not sure that the rest of the league will agree with me, but, you know, David Cohn at the point is a really important player for us. Hasn't scored a lot for us this year, but his speed allows us to play a quicker pace that we like, and he's got a fantastic assist turnover ratio at the point for us. So those three guys, and for the all rookie team or all freshman team, I think Nathan Knight certainly deserves a good look there. He's just gotten better and better as the year's gone on. I believe he's leading the league in block shots right now as a freshman, playing about 20 minutes a game. So he's certainly a young guy that ought to be in the running for that all rookie team.
All right, thanks very much for that.
Sure.
Talk about your team last week, where you got a split of a couple of games on the road, a tough overtime loss in a game which you battled back at James Madison, but then went on the road and played really well with a 20-point win over against a Delaware team that had won three in a row. Just talk about the two games last week.
Yeah, almost a terrific week. We lost a tough game at JMU. They played very well against us, shot the ball well against us. We really had a sluggish first half there, and again, I'll credit them for that. They were aggressive and making plays and really shot the ball well, but we dug a 12-14-point hole and then played a really fine second half to come back and tie the game and take it into overtime, and just weren't good enough to win it. Just didn't make the that last play to win it. But one possession loss there, and then I think maybe outside of Towson, Delaware has been, I think Towson's won six or seven in a row, maybe Delaware three in a row. But going up to their place, less than 48 hours later, and played a really fine game. I mean, we really played really well, and I thought defended better. And when we share the ball, we're pretty good offensively, and our assists were back up in the 23 range, and really, really good performance by our guys. Just a really good road win for us.
We've got a couple media questions in queue, if you'll get those for us, possibly.
Your first question is from Dave Johnson with the Daily Press.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
Good morning, Dave. Thanks.
First thing, I noticed you started Nathan on Saturday. Was Jack still under the weather or something, or did you just want to make a little switch?
No, Jack's fine. That was just the coach's decision. He's fine. Okay. He's feeling well these days. Both those guys still played about, right at 20 minutes each, so not a big deal.
Okay. It seems like that your team, one thing you've have done very well this year is it seems like they've had a short memory, and that whenever they had a disappointing loss, like you did in Madison, that they were able to sort of put it behind them and come back. Is that something you've seen with
them?
Yeah,
I think it's a fair assessment. And we talk a lot about, bouncing back, showing what we've got inside after a tough loss. The only thing I'd say is we've had to talk about our resolve too often. we've had those disappointing losses and had to talk about the character it takes to bounce back. But the guys have done that well. They really have. I think on the opposite end of that, what we haven't done a really good job of this year is after a really good win, you know, being ready to play the next game. That's been a frustrating thing for us with this team, but I think we're better at that right now than we were earlier in the conference play. But, yeah, I think you're right. It has been a team that's shown some character and bounced back in some tough situations. And our goal for the next couple weeks is not to have to bounce back.
And just to follow up one last thing, and I'm sure you're not even looking ahead to the tournament yet with two games left, but in terms of seeding, and I'm sure you want to be as high as you can, but how important is just being in that top six and not having to play a first-round game?
Well, that's huge. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's I think we took a team, and my memory on dates is terrible, but this was some time ago, I think, maybe David Schneider and that crew back a long time ago, but we had to win four games to win the tournament, and we won three and got to the championship game, and having enough energy to play that last day was difficult. It really was. So I think not having to play four is really important. And from there on, we haven't looked or talked about seedings at all because, you know, I don't know who's in what place right now, but what's your reward for finishing second? You play somebody like Northeastern or Hofstra or, you know, I mean, really good basketball team. So I'm not sure outside of that it matters a lot. Maybe some teams you play better, your matchups are better than others, but we really haven't considered that at all. We certainly got two great opponents coming in here this week and feel fortunate to be home, and just we have to find a way to take advantage of that.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Your next question is from the line of Jerry Beach with Defiantly Dutch.
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
I'm doing something on the spate of big comebacks in the league the last couple of years. There's been 29 games in which the winning team trailed by at least 10, and you've been in seven of those. You won four, lost three. And I wondered what your thoughts were on why the leads, you know, there's been these comebacks. You think it's a shot clock thing since the shot clock got cut to 30 seconds? Or do you have something else in mind that might be contributing to this?
I think it's pretty simple. I mean, it's a shot clock and a three-point line. I mean, there was a time in my coaching career that you got a 15-point lead and you felt pretty safe, you know, that you could finish a game out. But honest to goodness, and I mean, a 15-point lead means nothing anymore. I'd rather have a 15-point lead than to be down by 15. But, I mean, that lead can disappear so quickly in college basketball today, the way guys can shoot it. The shot clock, you know, you're still going to have possessions and a three-point line. I mean, just a couple possessions. And, you know, in two possessions, a 15-point lead is under 10, and the whole world changes when it gets under 10 a little bit. So, to me, that's the biggest thing. It really is. I guess we've been on both ends of those a little bit. But you see it every night. I mean, every night you turn on the TV and watch a game. I mean, it's, you know, great teams. I mean, you know, people say the top 10 in the country are blowing 15, 16, 18-point leads, you know. So it's just that's why I've got a bald spot on the back of my head.
All right. You kind of answered, but I was going to ask, you know, as the dean of the CEA coaches, do we feel less safe now than they did 5, 6, 7 years ago?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's just, you know, from time to time somebody will ask you, why didn't you go ahead and substitute? And that question comes from somebody who's never sat on the bench and still had 2 minutes to play in a ball game. You know, I mean, I was on it's a long time ago, and maybe it's not fair to mention this, but I was at North Carolina at the time when we came from, if I have it right, it was set, was it 8 points in 13 seconds or 17 seconds, came from behind and beat Duke 1 year. And that's a moment I'll never forget. So I never feel the lead safe. I mean, I really don't. So, but things have definitely changed from those days because of the shot clock and the 3-point line.
And, you know, do you think differently, you know, whether you're up 10 or down 10, whatever it may be, than you might have thought a few years ago? Do you and the players, is just the mindset different now?
It is for me, and I think it's a problem for me, to be honest with you. Sometimes I think if you're going to coach, you need to understand your strengths and weaknesses sometimes. And for me, sometimes, you know, we get a lead, and I pull the reins in a little bit. You know, I'll get worried about milking the clock a little bit. And I think what's changed for me is understanding that lead, you know, can disappear quickly, and we got to keep playing. We got to stay really aggressive. So when we get a lead, we talk to a lot to our guys about stay aggressive. So it's changed me, and as a result, it's probably changed our players a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
All right, Tony, thanks for the time here today, as always, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
Thank you.